are in the world, and welcome to Information Week Live for the week of March 1st, 2015. I hope that you are all having a great week. It's been an exciting week here at Information Week, so exciting, as a matter of fact, that a number of our regular contributors aren't going to be able to join us, but we're going to have an exciting show with a lot of information packed into an even more compact package than normal. So this is going to be a great episode. Now, we do want to remind everyone that Information Week Live is the weekly audio component of the Information Week community. The Information Week community has a bunch of components. One of them is our face-to-face component. That is Interop Las Vegas. Interop, connecting the IT community, takes place from April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in scenic Las Vegas, Nevada. You want to plan to be there if you do anything in the networking or IT space for business, because this is where the information industry professionals get together. And if you enjoy the writing of all the various editors at Information Week, well, you'll have the opportunity to meet us, to talk with us, to hear us speak live from various stages and in different venues at Interop Las Vegas. So it's going to be a great, great week, and we hope that you can join us there. For more information and to register, please go to www.interop.com. Well, to get us started this week, we have Information Week Executive Editor Doug Hinchin on first. Doug, welcome to Information Week Live.
Thanks, Kurt. Always good to be here.
Now, Doug, this week you have had a number of great stories, but I think that talking about server stuff was on your mind when we were setting up our conversation for today. Tell me about servers.
Yeah, well, we got the Super Bowl of stats this week. The Gartner figures for 2014 came out. So it's not just the one quarter or first quarter or second quarter view. They wound up the year on how the different vendors fared in shipping and selling servers. So some good stuff there.
Well, in looking at that, were there any surprises for you, anything that stood out and made you go, gee, I had no idea that was going to happen?
Well, not huge surprises. You know, the back of the envelope takeaway is IBM and HP slipped a bit, and Cisco and Lenovo gained share. And the IBM-Lenovo deal, which IBM in late Q3 sold its x86 server business to Lenovo for $2.3 billion. So that obviously caused a big shift, and Lenovo was up 112% in units. They were growing even without that deal, but that, you know, kind of put them over the top. So they're up 112%. They reached $1.5 billion in server revenue. That doesn't quite put them in the top five in terms of revenue, but they're in the top five, number four now in terms of units shipped.
That is fairly incredible. And, you know, one of the interesting things to me is that we're still talking about server vendors. It seems like only a few years ago when a lot of people were saying that by now it would be a completely white box world, but it seems like people still care about the brands and the different capabilities of different server families. Is that something that you think is going to continue, or do you believe we've already started that long slide into the world of nothing but white boxes?
Well, there's two trends. White box definitely plays, and that plays in big data and in cloud data center, stripping out as much of the unneeded value as they can and keeping the cost as low as possible. But there's another strain called integrated systems, and that helped power Cisco for once. Other than Lenovo, the big grower in 2014 was Cisco, which had about a 30% increase in revenue to $2.9 billion, making it number four in revenue. It's not a big in terms of units yet. It's not in the top five in units, but it's number four in revenue. And the big source of its strength and growth has been this unified computing system. That's compute power, storage, networking, and even virtualization software, all bundled together, sort of pre-configured, ready to roll, ready to consolidate data center workloads. And they've been so successful, in fact, that Oracle recently came out with the Oracle Virtual Compute Appliance to go after the UCS success. And, there's other, all of Oracle's engineered systems are integrated systems, integrating software and hardware. And Gartner sees this as another important trend in the server market. And, it's part of this software-defined business we're getting into. You're going to get software shipping on hardware, and that's going to, it's going to change the market. Gartner sees it as it's still less than 10% of the market, this x86 server market, but it's a growing factor.
Well, you mentioned the whole integrated area, and I know that you look at an awful lot of the enterprise application world. And one of the things that I'm curious about, when you look at the server numbers, do you think that these say anything about the increased importance of system integrators in the market, people able to come in and deliver a completely integrated solution, whether it comes from one vendor or not? Or do you think that most companies are still happy to buy things piecemeal and let their own internal teams try to stick it all together?
I think there's a real push to get pre-integrated systems. Those trends are clear in the growth of these integrated systems. Application vendors like SAP and others have rapid deployment solutions, they call them, which are basically, they figure out what 80% of the people or 90% of the people tend to use, and they build a system that's close to everything they need, and nobody wants to spend time rolling their own anymore. If they can get a system that's perfectly adequate for their needs, that is that much quicker to deploy. And I think the systems integrators and consulting firms are looking at higher value. They're not looking to help you as much with things like configuring servers and storage, and they're looking up the stack at helping you with analytics and things that are much more high value and more difficult to do and difficult to replicate for all.
It's interesting because it sounds like when we're talking about the server market, we're not really talking about just those 2U pizza boxes that that come in on pallets, but really sort of an integrated rack that might contain everything from a bunch of the pizza boxes to storage to top of rack networking. The whole package is. Am I misreading it, or do you think that that's the direction?
No, that's very much what a lot of the appliance, the integrated systems market is. A lot of these appliances that come out with, as I say, servers, storage, networking, and software. In fact, Cisco this week unveiled a bunch of big data sort of pre-integrated appliances. They're reselling the Hadoop, all of the Hadoop distributions, so Cloudera, MapR, Hortonworks, they can sell them all. It's a SKU on their price list, and their resellers and their distributors that have a big data expertise can go and sell these things, complete with the software. The software is the system is pre-configured to run the software, so it's really ready to roll. And then You mentioned this sort of pizza box. You know, there are really two camps, and this emerges in this Gartner report. You know, there's the high power RISC and Itanium servers, sort of the old Unix market, and you know, mainframe is in that camp as well. These big high end servers, and that's where you see, you know, the leaders in revenue in the market, the, you know, IBM and HP and such. And then there's the x86 market, which is more the commodity white box market you're talking about. So there is that difference, and you can see you might think of them as the money makers versus the box movers. And you know, for example, in units, Lenovo and Huawei are number four and number five, but in revenue, Cisco and Oracle are number four and number five respectively, because Oracle, IBM, HP, they're in this RISC and Itanium server market still, which has been declining. It's one of the reasons IBM had a bad year, but IBM just introduced their new mainframe, so the Z13, so they're hoping their hardware fortunes are going to rebound in 2015.
Well, real quickly, in all of this, does Gartner say what they think the market's going to look like? Do they see the server market continuing to grow robustly, or do they see the market really devolving to a whole lot of cloud and a little bit of on-premise stuff? Do they? What kind of prognostication are they throwing in here?
I think they're looking for a stronger year next year. They called this year, looking at the numbers, I think they were up very marginally, something like 2% in units and pretty flat in revenue. So I think with a little bit more of a global recovery, we could expect a stronger year. And, you know, you're going to see, you know, definitely in the cloud market, in big data, you're going to see lots of pressure on just commodity. I mean, it's all about putting as many processors and as much RAM and high capacity networking as possible. And there's not so much added value with software. And then the other extreme is these integrated systems and appliances, where vendors are looking to add as much value and make things as simple as possible for more like the enterprise audience that you know, needs to run specific apps. They're not looking at just generic compute capacity.
Well, this was big news for this week. What do you have on your radar screen for the coming week?
Well, we have some news in BI next week. I'm also that's coming from SAP in their area of data visualization, and a little bit in the area of advanced analytics, so formally announcing some integrations and capabilities they recently announced. And I'm working on something on IBM Watson. And this week IBM acquired Alchemy API, and that's giving them some capabilities in the way of natural language processing and image processing. So I'm going to look at some of the, you know, possible applications that are going to be coming out from Watson, and see if we can, you know, get something a little bit more commercially oriented than playing Jeopardy.
Well, you'll have to know if you actually get a chance to interview Watson with this new natural language processing.
Yeah, they actually recently came out with text-to-speech capabilities, and they're saying that this cloud service, you can now use the voice that was featured in the Jeopardy game. So I'm sure that got a lot of developers interested in playing with that.
Oh, be still, my foolish heart. Well, Doug, aside from all your articles here at Information Week, how can people keep up with you? What kind of social media presence do you have?
I'm D. Henshin on Twitter. If they're interested in those Gartner numbers, the headline this week was IBM slumps, Cisco gains in 2014 server sales, and that's at informationweek.com.
Outstanding. Well, Doug, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll look forward to reading all of your stuff in the coming week and in going back after the radio show is over and taking a close look at those Gartner numbers.
All right. Thanks, Kurt.
That was Doug Henschen, executive editor here at Information Week, talking to us about the once and future server market. Always something interesting to keep an eye on here at Information Week. Well, we turn from servers to the software side of things. We have the always popular Kelly Sheridan joining us today here at Information Week Live. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kurt. Thanks for having me.
Well, Kelly, you usually keep your finger on the pulse of all things Microsoft in addition to everything else you're covering. First of all, did Microsoft do anything interesting this week?
Yeah, they got off to a really busy start this week. This week was Mobile World Congress, the big show out in Barcelona. And Microsoft had a big keynote presentation on Monday where they announced a few new details on Windows 10 for mobile phones, and they debuted a couple of new smartphones and went over a few mobile updates that they have coming up over the next few months. The smartphones that they released were the Lumia 640 and 640 XL. They're fairly mid to low-end smartphones. I think that the goal here is to try to get the smartphones into the hands of more people so that when Windows 10 for mobile does roll out later this year, then more people will be able to make the upgrade. Both of these phones are going to sell offering Windows 8.1, so they'll be eligible for upgrade later this year when Windows 10 rolls out. But Microsoft did promise us that we will have a Windows 10 flagship phone later this year, so that was pretty exciting.
Mobile World Congress is always good for a bunch of announcements, and it seems like this is aimed at answering those people who said that Microsoft might be just planning to let the smartphone world go. It sounds like they've got some big plans for that particular part of the market.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, they also announced a partnership later the same week with Deutsche Telekom, and it looks like they're trying to roll out their Lumia phones into the European market. Apparently, they're doing really well over there. Windows Phone actually has a solid third place behind iOS and Android in the smartphone market when it comes to operating systems. So I think that they're trying to really push the Lumia out there, also with the goal of having more people upgrade to Windows 10 when it eventually does come out.
Outstanding. Now, one of those things that interests me, I couldn't help but notice your article on the new beta release of Office 2016 for the Mac. Big deal or just some cosmetic stuff going on there?
Right now, it looks like cosmetic stuff on the surface, but it's something really exciting in the works. Office for Mac hasn't had a major upgrade since 2011, so I'm really looking forward to this. I regularly use a Mac, so I'm looking forward to the upgrade. And I bet a bunch of people are as well. I've been scrolling through images of what the system looks like, and it looks like a combination of the old Windows interface with some new fresh designs that make it really compatible for Macs. Microsoft is rolling out a few new features like bounce scrolling, and there's like a little palette, and they added the Microsoft ribbon up there. So there's a few features that are really lending itself to the Mac theme, but at the same time are specific to Windows. So right now it's a work in progress, but I'm excited to see it when it does launch eventually, probably not till later this year or very early next year.
Well, I have to admit, I have downloaded the preview package but haven't yet installed it. So that's part of the excitement for my weekend, taking a look at that. Have you had a chance to take a look at it yet?
Not yet. My one of my computers isn't compatible. The other one I have, similar to you, I haven't fully launched it yet, but I'll probably do that this weekend as well.
Very cool. Well, turning away from that. What else is going on? What kind of excitement is out there in the world that you've been keeping an eye on?
Well, I've been keeping a very close eye on Apple this week. They've been coming up with a few announcements. We all know that they're having their big press event on March 9th where they're going to talk about, supposedly they're going to talk all about the Apple Watch, which was not so very subtly hinted in their advertisement for the event. But they also had a very good week in terms of smartphone sales. We learned that in Q4 2014, Apple beat Samsung in terms of market share, which was a really big deal because Samsung had always been on top. In terms of the year overall, Samsung still came out very much ahead of the game, but Apple looks like it's catching up, and that's largely in part to the iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus, which I think demonstrates how much people are looking for larger smartphones, something that I don't personally understand. I'm not a fan of big devices, but apparently there was a large demand for those among Apple users because their sales were fantastic from that quarter.
You know, it's fascinating. A couple of years ago, I was at CES, and one of the tablet companies had this thing that they said was for mainly for professional photographers. And it looked like a small television set that you would carry around with you. And I looked at it and went, why on earth would anyone want a tablet that big? Because, among other things, it wouldn't fit into any standard, you know, daily carry luggage that I can imagine. But you're right. Evidently, people are convinced that there's this market for the jumbo-sized tablet. And it's going to be interesting to see if they're right.
So far, it does look like they are. Samsung was ahead of the game with all of their mega smartphones, and I think Apple was apprehensive about kind of jumping into that space. But now that they have, I'm sure they're glad they did because their sales are skyrocketing right now. And they're going to be generating some more talk next week with the Apple Watch. I'm sure we're going to all be keeping a close eye on that.
Well, I have to admit that I am looking forward to doing some of this. I, like you, I tend to use some of the Apple stuff in my day-to-day life, and I'm still on an iPhone 4. So I am sort of casting covetous eyes on the 6 Plus. My dear wife falls into the same category that you do. She looks at it and goes, why do you need a phone that big? She's, I think if she could find an iPhone 6 minus, she would probably go in that direction.
You know, if I could take all the capabilities of the iPhone 6 Plus and put them into the size of an iPhone 4, I would be a happy camper.
Well, it sounds like there has been lots to watch this week, and I have to believe that with the Apple announcement scheduled for next week, we can count on a lot more next week as well. Besides, you know, what everyone assumes will be the watch and whatever else they decide to roll out, what's on your radar screen for the coming week?
Well, in addition, I'm pretty sure that Apple will take the forefront of the news cycle next week with all of its announcements. Especially if it ends up talking about more than the Apple Watch. If they have anything else rolling out or hidden up their sleeve, that'll certainly come top of mind. But personally, I'm looking forward to the next build of the Windows 10 for desktop. I was apprehensive about downloading the initial build onto my Surface Pro because I had heard so many things about, you know, people who downloaded the Windows 10 preview and it would just crash and the device just wasn't ready for it. So I'm hoping that in the next build, which I'm going to try to download, it'll be ready more for the Surface. So I know that the desktop preview, the first one, came out a little while ago. So I'm hoping that the next one comes out within the next week or two. So I will definitely be keeping my eye out for that.
Outstanding. Well, to keep us apprised of all this new stuff, what kind of presence on the social networks do you have? Where can we find you on the Tweety Pipes and all the other places where up to the second information tends to happen?
Well, you can always find my content on Information Week, but if you wanted to find me on Twitter, my handle is Kelly Sheridan. That's KellySheridan. 22, and first and last name is same on LinkedIn if you wanted to find me there.
Outstanding. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we will look forward to talking with you next week to do a roundup of all that Apple news we're looking forward to.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
That was Information Week's Kelly Sheridan. Kelly tends to keep her fingers firmly on the pulse of the Microsoft and Apple worlds. It's worth following her if you care about either of those or if you just want to get a great perspective on a lot of news in the IT industry. Well, it's time to turn our attention to the news of the Information Week community for this week. And to do that, we have Information Week editor Chris Murphy joining us. Chris, welcome to Information Week Live.
Hello, Kurt.
Now, we've heard Doug and Kelly talk about a lot of great stuff going on in their particular areas. Has that been all that's going on in Information Week, or has there been other news that we've been covering as well?
It's been pretty pretty steady news, and actually a lot of technology product and vendor product kind of news, as well as some interesting end user creative uses of technology stories happening. But there's been some interesting vendor news, things like ServiceNow, the IT services automation company, branching into the legal, finance, and marketing realm. So this is something they've with their cloud apps for IT support, kind of the ticket request for basically request for work. They've done very well in that IT realm and are very eager to expand that into new parts of the company. And so Charlie Babcock wrote about how they're launching products for when you need to request legal, finance, or marketing services.
Well, it does seem like services were big on everyone's minds. And is that what the community was talking about as well? I know, sometimes we talk about these things that we have great articles that we know are important, but people seem to just enjoy reading them and then not saying much, I suppose, because they just agree with every single word in the article. Were there other things that people were agreeing with less or that they seemed to want to talk about a little bit more?
Well, they always we have a lot of interest when we're talking about the Internet of Things, and there's just a lot of discussion every time we talk about that, and we had a couple of areas that we were that we had discussion around that. One was an article that we ran about eight ways that the Internet of Things will change IT forever. So there was good conversation around that debate around whether they see value, where they see it fitting in their lives, where they think it's overrated. And so there, that was an article. As I said, it was called Eight Ways IoT Will Change IT Forever. There's just a lot of question marks in terms of how valuable it is, what the obstacles are, what privacy trade-offs come with that. But there's not a ton of debate, I don't think, in terms of the that this is going to keep creeping further into our consumer lives and particularly in our business lives.
It's interesting that you mentioned that business life, because I know that there are some people who tend to look at Internet of Things and the embedded programming and all of that as being much more a consumer kind of issue, but it really is an enterprise issue, especially as concerns people trying to develop products for business to put out in front of consumers. Are you seeing a lot of interest from that business side?
We see a lot of interest on the I'd call it the business to business or the industrial side of things. So that's where that's where some of the advantages are clear. We have a piece that actually I wrote about just this week, posted yesterday on a mining company, Joy Global. They make mining equipment, so they're out in a lot of remote sites, and they're working on a new level of monitoring and response where they can look and watch and say, this particular shovel is underperforming. The operators should be able to fill this dump truck in 3 swings, and it's filling it in 4. And so they can ping a message back and say, hey, this machine, which we sold you, or perhaps that you buy from us just as a service, you don't even own it, we own it, but you're paying us for the use of it, it's underperforming. You should go talk to that operator and see if he's scraping too much, if he's digging too deep, if he's not digging deep enough, and correct. That article is posted now and is getting some discussion as well.
Well, when you look forward, I know that you tend to have a pretty good idea of what our various editors and correspondents are going to be covering in the coming week. What do you think is going to be big for the week to come? You think that everyone's going to be talking about Apple, or are there other things that we should keep our eye on as well?
Well, for sure they will, but I think that'll spur some of this discussion around connected devices and the role that they play based on what Apple comes out with, because I think it is one of those that people are looking to in terms of wearables and personal wearables, because that all has implications for, well, if we can track certain activity or performance, you can track that with employees. So I think everybody's looking for that next level of capability when it comes to wearables. And so even if the Apple Watch isn't something you say, I'm going to go get that, if you look at it and say, oh, I see what door that opens in terms of capability, we'll probably see more interest and discussion around both connected devices and wearables based on that.
Well, Chris, I know that in addition to riding herd over a lot of people, you also do a great deal of writing for Information Week. Always enjoy seeing your stuff on the page, and enjoy keeping up with you on social media. So if people want to do that, if they want to enjoy your wisdom 140 characters at a time, where can they do that?
I'm at Murph_CJ, so MURPH _CJ. And I have a couple things in the works. Talk about what's coming up. I'll be writing about something about a discussion I went to encouraging, challenging IT to focus more on growth and less on cost cutting, more on driving revenue, less on cost cutting, a challenge for IT. So look for that for me.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, we very much appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Great. Thanks, Kurt.
That was Information Week editor Chris Murphy. You're talking about all that's been going on at the Information Week community this week. Well, that's it. This has been such a busy week that many of our regular correspondents are off doing their correspondence. They're off writing, searching out new sources of information, and editing pieces to bring to the community in the coming week. You know, that's what we do every week. We try to bring you as many articles as we can, not just the facts of the news, but why it matters. And we enjoy seeing the way that the community responds to that, talks about it, and shares their thoughts, making each one of these pieces richer and more valuable for everyone concerned. Now, if you are listening to this in an on-demand format, we appreciate it, but we would love to have you here during the live broadcast, because there is a conversation that takes place here at informationweek.com during the live broadcast, and if you're missing that, you're missing a huge piece of what makes Information Week Live special. We would love to have your voice in that conversation, so please plan to join us each Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Starting next week, that will be Eastern Daylight Time. If you're listening to this before Sunday, please remember to push your clock ahead an hour at 2 a.m. on Sunday so that you can take advantage of daylight saving time. Now, that extra hour will be very important when we all get to Las Vegas for Interop Las Vegas. Interop Connecting the IT Community will happen April 27th through May 1st, 2015 at the glamorous Mandalay Bay Convention Center in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. We would love to have you meet us there to talk with us about all of the important developments in IT, talk about the best practices, processes, procedures, and technologies for IT and networking. For more information and to register, please go to www.interop.com. Well, for all of us here at Information Week and Information Week Radio, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you taking your valuable time to be with us. Hey, we will see you next time.